You're listening to the Gold Squadron Podcast, your home for X-Wing discussion, strategy, and entertainment.
This is episode 52 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I am your host, Dio Morales, and today I am joined by my good friend, Marcel, Scouts Are Fine, Manzano.
Yo.
Our plan today is to talk about our experience at the Michigan Regional and break down the top 16 lists. Now, before we go too far, you guys know that one of the biggest things we're known for is putting on awesome live streams of big events. And our next upcoming one is going to be the Chicago System Open, a.k.a. Hoth, a.k.a. Adepticon. And that's going to be March 23rd and 24th. A couple of our Gold Squadron members, Johnny and Nathan Oglesby, are going to be helping us out commentating for that while we're in the thick of battle. This is the one System Open I'm going to play at. So it should be a good time. But let's get into the Michigan Regional. So Marcel, we had a pretty good time, eh?
Yeah, it was actually a lot of fun. We drove up. Actually, before we can get into the Michigan Regional, I just want to send a quick congratulations over to Jeremy Howard, who wants to compete with Duncan for the best Howard again, for winning the Maryland or one of the
Virginia.
Regionals over there. Virginia. So congratulations.
Region.
Yep. And I think he was flying Lorik Fenn Miranda, I think it was. So
like,
congratulations.
Yeah, a different version.
Yeah, one of those ego type versions. Yeah.
Yeah, congratulations. You know, he finally decided to get serious and maybe put in some work or something, you know?
Yep. Well, he's always been good, but.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm just ribbing him because I like him. So. So, we drove up to Michigan, four and a ish half hour drive. Before we go too far, we cannot go without saying a big thanks to Pandemonium Games and Andrew Schuler for hooking us up and taking care of us while we were up there. And we made sure that everything went well with the stream. And I look forward to being able to work with them again next year. And I really think they did a wonderful job. You know, a couple of kinks in the beginning with the time, and they admitted that. They're like, all right, we need to streamline the process. And, you know, Andrew was like their X-Wing guy, and, you know, the couple of other Magic guys, they were trying to do a couple of things that they thought might help the process, but it didn't. But the biggest thing was like, hey, they adjusted, right? Like they're like, Okay, our original plan isn't working. Let's make sure we get less time between the rounds.
Oh yeah, for sure. They adjusted and they were very, they were very flexible, especially with us and with Philip, who's running the other stream
as well.
We were.
Yep. Yeah. They made sure. Hey, what matches do you want? And X, Y, and Z. I mean, it was a great time.
Yeah, so they did a really good job, and this one of the things that they did differently than other events that I really liked was they had both streams playing on the TV screens, so it was just kind of a cool touch to have the game stream on without audio, of course, on the screens. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, it added to the ambiance, and then when you got towards the final. And the later games, you didn't have to crowd around the table because you could watch it just on the TV.
Unlock the hologram.
I do want to apologize to the people that I really wanted to hang out while we were there. I don't know if you guys can tell, I'm still a little under the weather. I, of course, got Marcel sick. He wasn't feeling too hot today. I was sneezing and coughing up a storm, trying to do a stream and play. So, I figured what we start with before we get into the top 16 list is maybe just talk about how we did, some highlights. I know your list is in the top 16. Mine isn't. But should I go first? You go first. What do you think?
Well, I've been going first because I've been missing the cuts lately. So
it's my turn, right?
Yeah.
So I went 4-2. I will say, you know, I know that I was super sick and wasn't 100% there, but I still had a good time. But I could have gotten in the cut. I threw away a couple of the two games that I lost. One was to Final Salvo. I lost to Final Salvo, And then the second game I lost, I Talon rolled Kylo off the board. And I didn't need, there was no really need to do that move. My Kylo had gotten a PS0 crit right at the end. There was 2 minutes left. I still had, only missing one shield plus the crit that got under my shields, the damaged cockpit. And it was me versus the Inquisitor. And all I had to do was survive for 2 minutes. So the Talon roll was a cheeky way to try to get like going in the other direction. And I got greedy. But good times. The kind of weirdest list that I saw that I played against a Lando Wolf-Waro list. And the thing...
Yeah, they pilot were both, skill sevens.
Yeah, double pilot skill sevens. Both had push to limit. And Kanan Crew on Wolf-Waro and 9-num on Lando. So they were doing greens all the time. They were clearing the stress every time and getting multiple actions. I mean, they were like... Focus, Lando was focus, evade, target lock every turn, and Wolf-Waro was reinforce, focus, and I think he had targeting computer plus target lock.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. I was able to win that game, but I didn't do any damage to Wolf-Waro. I mean, to Lando. It was all just killing Wolf-Waro, and then time was called, because it took that long just to kill the one Wookiee.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. But had a good time. The gentleman who came in 17th, I beat him in final salvo, 50-50, my Kylo versus his Nim at the end game. And we did 4 roll offs. We tied 3 times. And finally, I threw my dice better than he did.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you won that one.
Yes, I did one. So I had 2 final salvos. I lost the first one.
Final salvos. Oh my. Oh.
Yeah. In the first round, but check this out. My opponent had double shadow casters. Okay. Shadow casters. And I had my boats with Kylo. I had 7 dice. He has 6 dice. He needs to borrow one of my dice. He only has 5. I give him one of my dice. He rolls 6 hits. And I roll 5 on my 7. So I took that dice that I gave him and I took a permanent marker and I wrote Finn on it because it's a traitor.
That's funny.
Yeah, but so that pretty much sums it up. And then by the end of Saturday, I was doing pretty bad health-wise. I know we had been invited to go out to eat and hang out with people, but I could not oblige. I'm sorry. I got food. I stopped at Wendy's. Stopped at Rite Aid to get some NyQuil and went to bed.
Yeah, I'm rightfully so. I mean, you were looking pretty rough. you were looking the way I feel today.
Correct.
Yeah. So, right. Yeah. So we'll probably pause this here for a second. We're going extra straight into the lists.
Yeah, so what we'll do, we'll go straight into the list here. Marcel's list is in there, so he'll break down his day when we get to his list. We're gonna go in, Swiss order.
Wait, real quick, yes. Number 17. You said that's Marcos.
Yes.
So yeah, he missed the cut by 6 points. So very tough on him. Very tough on him. Yep, met him in Indiana, played him. Got to beat him 100-0, even though I only went 3-3, so I feel good about that. Sorry.
It's all right. Yeah, so he was flying Nim Miranda, and basically I was able to kill Miranda. He kind of hung her out to dry at one point. He thought the target lock was on Nim, and I had switched it to Miranda, and he was like, oh, crap. And
Or maybe I didn't play him.
A couple harpoons.
I don't know. I might be confusing.
I know he kind of looks like a shorter Philip Horney.
Well, they played each other, so I was like, yeah. Double take mirror.
They have that, they have that like really like suave hair and beard going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway,
all right. Let's so we're starting with number 16.
Number 16. So I'm going to take evens, and Marcel's going to take odds. We'll break these down, read them to you. So the Zach Matthews. You guys know him from the Carolina Crates podcast. He's helped us out also streaming and stuff like that. He was flying, if you guys are familiar with his lists, that he's flown lately. He's called them the Ego, and there's, you know, Mark 1, 2, 3, whatever iteration this is now. It's very similar. So he has Miranda, long-range scanners, TLT, bomblet, Sabine. You notice that there's no missile. A lot of times he has a missile on his Miranda, no missile, but he does have Sabine now there on Miranda with the Ezra Sheathapede with R3A2, selflessness, and gunner. So basically what's happening there, you're taking the missile that you would have given Miranda and swapping it over to Ezra and giving him gunner to have the ability to double stress things in one attack phase, rather than the other version of Ezra that we see running around, like Williams, one of our Gold Squadron members, who has Snapshot Hera. So this is a little different, different build. And then rounding it out with Lorik with Expertise, Tactician, and Inspiring Recruit. So the ability to clear double stress from other Ezras, I think that's the reason why that's there. And also, he just gives an opportunity that if Ezra double stresses somebody, he could do a green maneuver, clear both of Ezra's stress, and now use the coordinate action or something else on Ezra's action bar to keep his list going.
I mean, this is a variant of an archetype that's doing really well. You got Williams, you've got other versions of it. He's basically sacrificing a little bit of opening damage with having that missile on Miranda and transferring that to more consistent damage with the gunner and the expertise. So it does the same thing. It just does it a little bit slower than Williams. Haywood's probably a little bit bigger off a strike, but punches a softer after that initial strike.
Exactly.
So it's a different variant, but they've been doing very well for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to 15.
All right, 15, we have Tristan Singleton. So Tristan Singleton is from Toronto, I believe, and he was flying a scummy list with pilot skill 10 Captain Nim, with veteran instincts, extra munitions. So that means he had 2 harpoons, 2 thermal detonators, guidance chips, trajectory simulator, and genius. So he opted for the thermals, I'm assuming for all of the expertise and the boosting ghost over the permanent bomblet generator. So that's interesting. And then from there, he also has a pilot skill 10 Torani Kulda, which is the Kimojila that pulls, kind of has that soft hot shot type of ability for anybody in his firing arc. And he's got him with only harpoon missiles and guidance chips. But of course, the Kimojila can reload. And closing it out, he's got Captain Justero with the title Deadeye, Harpoon Missiles, Contraband Cybernetics, which is the one that lets you take stress to basically treat to be able to take actions while stressed and reveal red maneuvers while stressed.
Excuse me.
And he has guidance chips, munitions, failsafe with this. And he is coming in at, I believe, 99 points with this.
He's 100.
No, at 100. Nope. Yep, he's 100. And I did get to play this list. This was my top 8 list that I lost. You will be able to see that, I think, at some point over the next week or so, maybe.
Yeah, actually, the videos are literally exporting as we're recording right now.
Yeah.
He was on stream several times.
Mm-hmm.
Both. He was on ours, actually, I think it was 3 times, just the way it worked out.
I think the last,
3 times, and then 1 time on Dark Side Productions. One interesting thing, looking at this list, Marcel, is the fact that Nim doesn't have a turret.
He did not have a turret. And he opted for that extra munitions, harpoon, and basically what he's trying to do here. So he's just really trying to leverage, he's trying to find as many ways to leverage Captain Justero as possible with the thermal detonators, with the trajectory, with Tarani basically forcing you to take the, spend the tokens instead of getting the damage, because if you take the damage, then Captain Justero will trigger after that point. So, he opted for having it just be a regular munitions carrier.
Yep, and in his games, it was definitely effective. I mean, he got to the final table. He was in the final. Now, I think what makes or breaks this list is the flying of Captain Justero and where you put him in, and how you bring him into combat, because he's the slowest out of these ships. And we do, Marcel and I actually talk about this on the stream. In his earlier games, he does a great job of flying Captain Justero. And just what ends up happening is, with his positioning in the final, Captain Justero is out the fight for way too long. And that is the thing that really flips the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Took him maybe two rounds too long to get into the fight. I think the other ships had already shot a total of three times before Justero got his first shot in. So yeah, definitely missed calculation, I guess. He miscalculated how fast it would take Justero to get there in the final. And also, I highly suggest you watch the match between myself and Tristan. It was exciting. It swung both ways. I had the game almost won early on, and then it swung heavily in his favor. And then at the end, he was basically hoping for a natural evade in order to survive and win on points with his one hull Nim, which he got the evade that he needed. Big learning experience for me on that one. I guess Dion was commenting and other people were commenting that I was playing slow, even though I was playing from behind. Then one more round, I would have won that game.
Yep.
But you know, that's part of that just being aware. And I was actually very lighthearted for this match. And I was just not really playing serious. I mean, I was playing seriously. I was making the best moves that I could possibly make, but I wasn't playing how do you say it? Like with that, like, you know,
machismo.
Yeah, I was just I was enjoying the game. It was so much fun, and we were actually, while we were playing, we were joking around, and you know, if we rolled off the board and the die flew in the floor like 5 feet away, we would actually just go and look at what it rolled on the floor and bring it back and not re-roll it. I mean, we're just having a good time, and I just completely didn't take the time to when they called final round, take the time to say, okay, what do I need to do to win and what do I need to do to lose? And because of that, I disengaged with one of my ghosts instead of putting two guns on him. I tried to go for keeping him alive, and that was a mistake. But yep.
I was going crazy on the stream. I was like, Marcel, no!
but definitely Tristan did amazing with this list. It's a good setup. There's three different ways to trigger Justero here, with the bombs, with the harpoon, and with Tarani's ability. So very, very, very good list building here.
Absolutely. Then we move to 14 in Swiss. This was Chris George, one of the other imperialists, a man after my own heart, Kylo Ren, fully loaded with push the limit, tidal, advanced sensors, advanced optics, auto thrusters, and then two rowboats, but he opted for Deadeye, harpoon missile, and guidance ships. That brings him to 99 points. And I mean, this, you guys have heard me talk about this list quite a bit. You know, Kylo's job is to stay alive to the end game. With the bid, he, in his list, he's at 48 points. So if he can kill 53 points or more, pretty much Kylo's job is just to stay alive till time. Now, him opting for the Deadeye harpoon missile guidance ship boats, what it does there is, the advantage that they have is that they can reset a lot faster. They don't have to wait for a target lock. With the long range scanners adaptability version that I fly, I do have to I have to take a couple turns off basically, or do some other shenanigans in order to make sure I get my harpoon missiles off. It's a little bit easier to get the missiles off here, but it makes your Kylo cheaper. So there's a little bit of a trade off there. But I can't say anything. I can't say that he's wrong because he made the cut and I didn't. So good job to Chris George there, coming in 14 in Swiss. I think he did, if I'm not mistaken, I don't have the final results here after the cut, but I believe he did get eliminated in the first round of the top 16.
Yeah, and it's not my favorite list. I think with a pilot skill 9, Kylo 99 is cutting it a little bit too close for comfort. For me, if I see this lined up against your list, I would take your list anytime, because your Kylo is going to be worth 2 more points because of the bid. And you will be able to arc dodge his Kylo. So,
you know, I'll be able to arc dodge his Kylo and his boats.
Yeah, and his boats. So,
with my boats.
and shoot before he does.
Right.
So it does. I think his list does better against anything that is not pilot skill 9, and not specifically, you know, actually you are pilot skill 9. So I think his list does better against the rest of the field, where your list does better against other pilot skill 9 lists and lists that are basically trying to point fortress.
Yeah, exactly. So just a different way to go about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, 13th.
13th, we got Mark. Let's just call him. There you go. Let's just call him Mark. So Mark is flying Fen Lothal Zeb. So it's the what everybody has grown to
love.
Be familiar with. So so there's. Usually the differences with this list, with the Lothal version, if you're not doing the chopper or the cannon, is typically going to be on Fen. And what Mark did differently is he actually opted for R3A2 instead of there's not even a typical, because you have Flight Assist Astromech version, and then you have the green ones and twos version. Which give you a 99-point list. He opted to bump it all the way up to 100 to get R3A2 and kind of mix in a little bit of stress if he needs it for, you know, let's say somebody who has expertise, per se. You know, so if you're flying against a ghost, if you're flying against Rey, which is the biggest hunter of this list, you can shut off Rey's both his focus token with Hotshot, plus the expertise with R3A2. So it's basically a counter to the counter. But it hurts you in the mirror match, because now you lose initiative and you lose the flight assist. And R3 and Fen's ability kind of counter each other out. You're going to do one or the other.
Yep. And I think that's exactly what it is. It's to tech against the thing that's teching against it, which is expertise.
Mm-hmm.
This comes back later as we move up the chain. But the other thing about the R3A2 version is it makes Fen a lot more predictable if he's using R3A2, which might, I think a less experienced player trying this version could get Fen in some pretty bad spots. That's the one thing that would worry me about doing the R3A2. You definitely gotta, you know, you have to make sure that you're in arc there. Like, your maneuver is going to catch somebody in arc, because if you don't, you don't get any reposition. I really personally like the flight assist astromech version to be able to have that maneuverability and flexibility. But
yeah, definitely to keep, if you're moving fast, to keep pace with the Lothal. And if you're not moving fast, to guarantee that you can reposition to put an arc and be able to trigger his ability for defensive reasons. So, yes. So in my opinion, that's the most optimal, but this list is so efficient that and so effective that suboptimal is still optimal.
All right, so coming in 12th in Swiss was Zach Bart out of Indiana, and he was flying something that we actually saw Nathan Eide run last weekend at the Wisconsin Regional. He had a Fen Rao with Veteran Instincts, Flight Assist Astromech, and Chopper Crew, Lorik with Wookiee Commandos and Selflessness, and Corin Horn, yes, Corin Horn, with R2-D2, Fire Control System, Engine Upgrade, and Push to Limit. The idea here is you have a 48-point Corin, and you want to make sure, I think there's also a 2-point bid in there, right? No, it's 100. Anyway, it's a 48-point Corin that hits super hard. You try to kill things, and you let Corin survive to the end game, unless you get blocked off the board.
Yeah, and you played against Nathan with this, right?
I did.
Yep. And I played against Zach on this, and it was a very tense match. The whole Swiss round, I only had two tense matches. One of them was tense because of just the amount of thinking that was required. The other one was tense because I was just being a salty little
person
that I was just being salty and moody. I gotta stop doing that. It always happens against that one list. I gotta stop doing that. And I gotta, stop apologizing to people.
You don't like playing against Fen and Lothal?
No, I don't like playing against Fen and Lothal. But what I don't like is I don't like letting the fact that I don't like playing against that create a bad play experience for the opponent. Because, I don't have anything against people who fly it. I just don't have fun playing against it, and I don't want it. You know, when I fly jumps in the past, or when I flew other things that were basically blowing people out of the water and not making it very competitive, if the person across from me is just acting the way that I was acting, it would make it no fun for me. Then you feel bad for winning. And I know that Eric, who beat me, felt bad for winning. I mean, when somebody apologizes for winning, is like, oh man, maybe I was being a bit of a. I'm trying to figure out what word to use because we're kind of a PG here,
right?
So
I know what you mean.
Yeah,
I think you know.
but we're all friends, and I do pat myself in the back a little bit and say, you know what, I recognize when it happens, and within a few minutes I'll go over there and I'll shake the person's hand, I'll congratulate them properly, and I'll make it up to them somehow. That's the way.
So you were saying with
this list,
yeah,
I played Zach, and this was a very stressful game. I overcommitted with one of the ghosts. I keep saying ghost. That thing is imprinted in my brain. I overcommitted with one of the jumps, and essentially the first round of fire, he took zero damage, and I lost a jump master flat out. So it was two jump masters, I guess, a full list, and a full list that is really powerful. We traded back and forth, and I was able to get some blocks. I got double stress with debris on both Corin and Lorik. So Corin and Lorik were actionless for a good portion of the match. Killed Fen Rao, killed Lorik, and then had two jump masters chasing down Corin Horn. And at the end, I sacrificed one of my basically almost full health jump masters to ionize him close to the edge, and then blocked them out of the edge in the follow-up turn. 100-83 was the final score. It was so
brutal.
Yeah, it was a great match, though. it was a really good match. And Zach didn't really make any mistakes. He just, on a couple of those, he just, his Corin without auto thrusters just didn't roll well enough some of those times.
Cool. And
Yeah,
go ahead, take the next one.
All right, the next one, we've got Jacob Neal. And Jacob Neil is flying Rear Admiral Chernu with Dauntless, Emperor Palpatine, Kylo Ren, engine upgrade, veteran instincts, and the Inquisitor with push the limit out of thrusters up and prockets and the title, of course. And he is flying that at 98 points. Something that you've seen a lot at this particular tournament. We saw more Racklo than we did Fenlothals, if I'm not mistaken. Because there was 4 Fenlothals total, and I think we must have seen at least 7 or 8 Racks out there.
I played against, I don't know, I'm sorry, Jacob, if it was you, but I played against this exact same list in the when I 3 Talon rolled off the board. This was the mm-hmm. list.
Okay.
That I was playing against.
I played against almost the same list, but the list that I played against had, instead of having veteran instincts, they were both at 8, but he had determination.
Oh, that's the one I played against. The determination
guy. So I played against him too, and instead of having Emperor Palpatine, he had like the stress and the other things. You know, the other build outs with hotshot co-pilot gunner is what he had. No.
My guy was different. It was determination. That doesn't matter. But anyway, keep going.
Yeah. But there was a lot.
There was a lot of rack around.
And they did. They were doing pretty well. I mean, I played the rack guy that I played was, you know, we were both undefeated at the time. I think we were both like 4-0 or something. So yeah, they were doing well.
Absolutely. I mean, the idea behind this list is using the Kylo Ren crew to, you know, you blind a ship or you PS0 a ship that is higher pilot skill than you, and then you just hunt. The Inquisitor is really tanky, especially backed up by Palpatine if need be for defense. And you can fit in the Inquisitor there with a procket. If you do need to get into range 1, you just pop somebody with 5 dice.
Now, question to you. Do you like procket? Or I personally prefer cruise missile because A, you can do it without a focus token, and B, you can do it when you are basically when you're doing a K turn and you just need to create distance and
get
5 dice. So I mean, you're either getting the 5 dice at range 1 or you're getting the 5 dice at range 2 and 3.
I think because Inquisitor is already a threat at range 3 and 2, like with his ability. Mm-hmm. I think you just make range 1 scarier, because one temptation that a lot of people have, and I know for myself included, is, you know what, if the Inquisitor is quote unquote range 1 at any range, I'm going to get my extra dice by getting into range 1 and getting his face and do some damage.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's a lot scarier because he has a proton rocket. He's like, okay, come to range 1. I got a present for you.
Yeah. And the scariest part is that you know, ships like Fenrau are shooting the 3 dice at range 2 and 3. Yeah, you get your bonus. And shooting the 5 dice at range 1. They don't have a Palpatine, though.
No Palpatine. All right. So go ahead. Tenon Swiss.
Number,
you know this guy, huh?
Yeah. How did we switch? We started with me on odds. This is you, buddy.
Oh, this is mine. Okay. Well, I mean, we've been jumping in on each one. I'll read this one. Our good friend of Exploding Car Repaints, Luke Carrington of Indiana, comes in at 10th in Swiss, flying Ray Lorik. I believe this is the only Ray Lorik that made the cut in Michigan. Ray was decked out with Expertise Finn, Kanan Crew, the Sloop title, and Engine Upgrade, followed mm-hmm. up with Lorik, Expertise, Tactician, and C-3PO.
Yeah.
Idea here is both ships are extremely both offensive and defensive with passive mods and say, all right, I'm going to last longer than you. I'm going to hit you hard. And they stay together in a pseudo formation and they just, they threaten, but they can also survive on their own.
Yeah.
They can spread apart. This
is a super powerful list. I love this list. If I was flying, if I would fly Ray, this is how I would pair Ray up. I think this is the best version right now. I mean, you've got offense on both and you've got defense on both, and you've got so much, so many options here. And Luke flew it flawlessly. He went 5-0, and then in the sixth match, I forgot who he flew against. Maybe it was either Philip or Nate, but whatever it was, I know that Luke just kind of like experimented and lost that sixth one by being experimental. And I got to play him in the top 16. He was my top 16 game, and I could not figure out how to beat him. I beat him, but coming up to the game, I had no idea how I would be able to beat him, because with the C3PO, with the, yes, I can block the reinforce at some point, but I can't block the rerolls from Finn. I can't block the C3PO, and my debris clouds don't really do that much because of cannon crew, typically. So yeah, I was really worried about this match, and luckily, I set up the perfect first round engagement where all three of my ships got closed into range one, and I forced him. He got all three of my ships to shields, like no shields. He didn't get to hull on them, but he got to shields on them, and I think that was the difference, that I was able to force him by certain bumps to split his fire. And my cargo chute, I think the only tactical mistake that he made was because of cannon crew, he can fly through debris. But when you have a debris stacked on top of a cargo chute, or the other way around, cargo chute stacked on top of the debris, then that was creating the the stress. And I was able to get stress on both cannon and Ray. And then, that's 8 points of his list that are shut off. For Luke, I'm sorry, I caught this right away and I didn't say it because we're in the middle of a tournament. But when your Lorik stressed, when he did the three soft and he got that stress, you could have opted to give him the cannon ability and clear that stress instead of using it on Ray that turn. So you used it on Ray, and I was glad that you did. I think you just forgot that you could use it on Lorik as well, and then Lorik would have had a range one with expertise and would have had the reinforce, and it would have made a big difference in the game. But he played it very well.
Awesome. Number 9.
All right, number 9. James Jones. And James Jones was, I didn't even know this list was up here, so that's interesting. So James Jones was flying triple defenders, Countess, Vessery, and a Delta. And he is flying the version that I like, version that I like. A lot of people are putting a Swarm Leader on Colonel Vessery, but he's flying with Juke instead, and a Push the Limit Countess. I just think Juke is more consistent throughout, because it works by itself. You don't need any support ships for that. And I mean, it's kind of an oldie, but a goodie.
Yeah, I mean, focus evade every turn is just hard to get through. And that's the idea, is I'm going to outlast you. I believe we did get one game with him on stream where he played against it was a Lothal with Jake in the A-Wing. Yeah, it was a very interesting match. I think it was round 6 of Swiss. So this would have been his play-in game for the top 16, going 5-1. But yeah, he was able to use the defenders to very good effect. And then we move on to the 8 seed was Colin Gilbert, running at 100 points, and he had a Kylo Ren with auto thrusters, fire control system, advanced optics, First Order Vanguard, and adaptability. So PS10, fire control system, Kylo, with quick draw, fire control system, lightweight frame, optics, special ops training, adaptability. So PS10, quick draw, and Omega Ace with adaptability and advanced optics. I'll be honest, I don't know how he got in the top 16 with this list. This guy must have been playing his mind off. I don't understand.
It's actually a good list. I don't know if you, and we have a Gold Squadron, not podcast, but a Gold Squadron, you know, pastimes kind of meta discussion list. And this is one of the ones that I sent up with Omega Ace. And actually I had him with VI and Advanced Optics. And then I basically had Quick Draw and Kylo at PS 11. Omega Ace at PS 10. And I personally think it's really solid because you are going to, and that leaves you like at 97 points or something like that with that version. So you're going to beat every PS 10 and you're going to beat every PS 11 for initiative. And you're only getting one action with Kylo, but with the advanced optics on both Kylo and Omega Ace. Actually, he's got Ace, huh? My version with Omega Leader. Yeah, so Omega Leader at 10, not Ace. So
yeah, Omega Ace is the TIE FO that says you can spend focus and target locks to change all your results to crits.
Mm-hmm.
So optics, he goes in for a target lock, attacks, and then just auto does crits. That in order to do auto crits. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it sort of works similar to a boat, a gunboat. You're basically disengaging to get your focus and then you're re-engaging to get your target lock and get it off.
Yeah, that makes sense. I just, man, with Kylo, that Kylo just seems really scary to fly. You don't get a boost barrel roll. He doesn't have evade. He just is going to have focus. I mean, I guess you're trying to leverage that fire control system and you got to guess right. And you only get one reposition if you need to get out of arc.
Yeah. The only part I don't like about this particular list, and he can't fit it in, is the fire control systems instead of advanced sensors. I just think Kylo Ren needs, especially if you're arc dodge and you need that advanced sensors, because you're going to get blocked at some point or you're going to be forced to run over a bomb or something. You need to reposition yourself first.
Right. Because he's like in this build, he's kind of like not really an ace. You know, when we call what we call necessarily ace, he's like a pseudo. He's like almost an ace.
Yeah, I think kind of. I mean, he can reposition. He can do things. He's probably closer to what you would get from a Fenrau that is mind linked. You get one action, but you know you're going to have your focus. So you've got your focus. So you're going to get your one action to reposition or boost in. So we call that Fen an ace, even though it's only one action with carrying a focus. So that's kind of like that.
I mean, Fenrau wasn't an ace. He was a missile.
he was a tougher ace. But then again, he's coming in with target locks where Fenrau had to either take the action target lock or boost in and get the additional die. So he's got that punch because his shots are more accurate and with after the reposition.
Cool. Yeah. Colin, man, good job getting the cut with this. I would not have the cojones to do this. I would not. But good job, man.
All right.
Then we get to number 7. Who's this scrub?
I don't know. Some scrub that forgot to read the script. So it's flying 3 jump masters, scouts, pilot skill 3. All 3 jump masters have ion projectors. So when somebody bumps them, they roll for an ion. All 3 jump masters have snapshot. So front arc range 1 roll dice. One of them has intel agent because, as it was revealed over the course of the last 18 months, intel agent is actually kind of good. And that one also has an EMP device, which is everything at range 1 gets 2 ion. So it's basically EMP. It's just the Oprah Winfrey of ions, because everyone gets an ion or 2. And then the other 2 scouts are loaded with operations specialists, which is if a friendly ship at range 2 of you is shooting and misses, then you can give a focus to a ship at range 3. I don't like the way that this card is worded, just because the range 2, range 3 just creates a lot of confusion. And they have Red Cargo Shoot as well. So the, and it's coming in at 98 points, trying to guarantee the, you know, get under the bid for mainly the Ghosts, but, you know, other pilots kill 3 things that are out there. Yeah, and I basically, I had this list put together, I think, maybe within a week after the last FAQ, I put this list together. And the idea for it actually came from Richard White. You guys might also know him as Calvin Tiberius, host of the Scum and Villainy podcast, because Richard gave me a list of 3 A-Wings with Snapjuke, and then Lorik with Operations Specialist and Swarm Leader. And I was having so much fun with it. And I was seeing how efficient it was when Operations Specialist was triggering off multiple snaps and then giving everybody multiple actions. So that triggered this idea. And I'm like, well, Snap and Operations go together like Dion and a mic. And let's just double it up. Let's put 3 snaps and 2 operation specialists, give focuses to everything. It made sense because at that point, the Ghost was already starting to become, you know, with Sensor Jam, it was already starting to become a thing. I'm like, well, my snaps are always going to miss because he's always going to Sensor Jam 1. And then, you know, I can reposition, I can do everything, or I can target lock and then have multiple focuses going around, because every miss essentially adds up to 2 additional focuses.
Right. And if your snapshots don't miss, you're like,
I got damage during activation. Yeah, why not? Actually, I killed, I don't know, I think my in a couple of my matches, the snapshots did more damage than my actual turrets, especially against, you know, things like the Inquisitor. I caught the Inquisitor, and yeah, I mean, I know where you're going to be, and I know where you're going to be without actions and without without auto thrusters. Yeah, you're rolling 3 dice, but you know, so you go through the danger area, and you're gonna take, you know, 2 snaps, and if, you know, whatever damage you come out with, you're gonna have to boost your way out of there and use your actions to get out of dodge. So it's a really good list, and I didn't fly it earlier, and I was joking around with some people like Joe Desmond and you know, Travis Johnson and them early on, you know, when I first put the list together and I shared it on Messenger, saying that this is kind of a, we're trying not to use the word cancerous anymore. So this is kind of a,
it's broken.
It is another broken list. It's not a broken list because of its efficiency, the way that Lothal Fen is. What makes this list broken, it's a list that creates a negative play experience for other players, which I know it's kind of, you know, I complain about negative play experiences against the Ghosts, and this creates that. Now, the difference here is that if you put this in the hands of somebody who isn't very good with this type of list, they're just not going to, all the tricks aren't going to work, and they're just going to go 1-5 or 2-4, and it's going to be a horrible list. But if Travis tries to fly this, Tom Buiz or any of the guys that did well with triple jumps in the past wants to fly this, it will be effective. And to Travis's point, it's probably bad for the game. So sorry to everyone if anybody else flies this.
Yeah, the floor, I will have to say, the floor on this though is lower than Lothal Fen. Like, oh, they're both like, If anybody just picks this up and they like go through the exact same tournament with Lothal Fen and this, and they're not a very experienced player, they will not do as well with this. If you don't know how to reposition the arcs, understanding the distances with the blocks and all that, that's what really makes
it. Oh, for sure. Anything with auto thrusters, anything with 3 agilities, you're just never gonna kill it, and you're gonna bleed health to, you know, so quickly. So yeah, this is not something, you know, where the Lothal Fen is something that anybody can pick up and do well with. However, the people that win are people that are actually really good at the games. Eric, you know, again, for this one, he won, but he's won other regionals before. So, you know, he won another regional this year. So he's good. Ryan, he won, but
Stan Izuski, yeah.
He's a good player. He's a good player. And the only reason I beat him in round six and he was 4-1 and he had a really good list. He just had a kind of a tough matchup against me with his specific list. He's a good player. And also D obviously is a good player. And so is, I forget the guy.
Steven.
His name, Steven. So these are, and also Andrew Knuckles, all the people that are winning with it are good players and they would beat. They are better players than the other players that are typically using this and losing to it. But the floor is much higher, and somebody can, if you're a 3-3 player and you take Lethal Fen, you'll probably be a 4-2 player. If you're a 3-3 player and you take, you know, this triple scouts, you're probably going to be a 2-4 player. So the floor is lower, but if you use it right, it's got enough tools to frustrate people.
Yep. And then we get to the sixth seed, Philip Horney, Michigan local, flying Kylo Ren.
Two-time defending champion for
yes. Michigan. Yes, he does. He makes it into the cut. He's Mr. Cardigan. If you've ever seen him at a tournament, he always wears a cardigan. I'm waiting for the day he doesn't wear a cardigan at a tournament. It's going to be weird. So he has Kylo Ren with Push the Limit, Advance Sensors, the First Order Vanguard title, and auto thrusters. Notice there's no advanced optics on that one. Quick draw with adaptability, fire control system, lightweight frame, special forces tie title, and countdown with adaptive ailerons and lightweight frame. The idea here being that, you know, he just kind of throws countdown in for the fight. He's like, you know what? I'm only going to take one damage on most shots using his ability. And if you kill the striker, congratulations, you got 22 points. But if you ignore it, he's gonna fly that thing buzzing around. It does have three dice, four at range one, and it'll just start eating away at you, using it as a blocker. Kylo Ren gets to do all of his shenanigans, minus being able to hold on to a focus. When I've watched, we've had Philip play on stream a couple of times. We did get to catch him play a game with this list as well. And he's an extremely aggressive player and is not afraid to make well-calculated risks in order to swing the game in his favor. And he was able to do that and, you know, get into the cut at the sixth seed.
Yeah, and I actually just think the reason he made it that far is just because of how good of a player he is, how natural he is at playing X-Wing. Because this list, I mean, you can have, you're probably more of an authority as a Kylo player. It's just so not optimal. You have a Kylo at 100 point with 100 point bid, no bid.
Yep.
You're at 30. You're at 45 points, which is without a bid. So you're 3 points below the 99 bid guys, and you're 5 points below you or the other people flying it at 90. You know, at a 97 bid. So you're losing the bid. You're losing the point fortress if you're both just dancing around each other at the end. And quick draw wants to be at 11, not at 11, wants to have expertise, doesn't have expertise. So I just think this is, in my opinion, and I'd like your input. In my opinion, this is not a very it's not a great list.
Oh no,
it's just, it's a list that he is very good at playing X-Wing, so he beats other people with skill. Not with a list.
Yep. No. Yeah. This is straight Philip Horney saying I'm better than you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you're right. It's not an optimal build for Kylo or Quickdraw, who are your biggest pieces in this list. And you know, countdown is while I explained the idea of and how he was able to approach things. I would personally never fly this. Like I could not be successful flying this.
And I couldn't either.
You don't have all the tools. Like if you, usually when people talk about tools in the list, it's things to get you out of bad situations, right? Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Or things to put you in a spot where you're like, you know, this is probably not a great idea, but it's fine. I have expertise. It's okay that I don't take a focus here. You know, like, you got these things. This list, I mean, with quick draw, you're going to do an action and focus. I mean, you're going to do a maneuver and focus and say, this is the best spot. Look at me. Like, yeah. you have to be so on. Great work by Philip.
And just as an example, I mean, countdown, again, it's just kind of a throwaway piece that you know, blocks and puts in a little bit of damage and stuff like that. If you swap that out for either a TIE fighter or a TIE FO, the generic ones, you're still getting 3 agility, you're still getting blocking, you're still putting in maybe a little bit of damage, but now lets you put advanced optics on Kylo, lets you put advanced optics on quick draw, maybe instead of advanced optics, put expertise, you know, do different things that will make this list, to your point, have those tools that will allow you to not be perfect in guessing and perfect in flying.
Yep. And I think because it is a striker, it shows the fact that Philip, his biggest strength is flying, because that's what the striker has, a lot of flexibility in its flight. Mm-hmm. It has a pseudo advanced sensors with that boost with the adaptive ailerons. So, I mean, his greatest strength is his flying. So, good on you. All right. Yeah. To the fifth seed. We've talked about this list already. Go ahead.
Yep. It's Eric Zhang, and he is flying the Lothal Fen that. Again, we're not going to go over the whole thing. Now, the interesting part is he also opted for the R3A2 version, for the stress version. So that is, I didn't even know, because when I played against him, he never used it. Mainly because it makes no sense to use it against my list, because my ships don't care about stress. So I didn't even know. I figured he had something different. But yeah, Eric flew a very good tournament. He only lost one game, and that one game was a nail biter to our fellow Gold Squadron mate, Nate Moore. So yeah, I mean, Eric came, and when we were playing against each other, and later on when we were hugging it out, he was like, yeah, I haven't played in a month and a half, so I just wanted something that I can kind of pick up and you know, just kind of pick up and play. And yeah, he picked up, played, and won.
Yeah, sure did. All right. At the four seed, Tim Ralphs, also known as Timbo Slice, another Canadian out of Toronto, flying Ketsu Asajj. Asajj has Push the Limit, Lazzarazzi Crew, Burnout Slam, Black Market Slicer Tools, and Gyroscopic Targeting, sitting at 46 points. And Ketsu Onyo, with engine upgrade, Shadowcaster title, Fearlessness, Dengar crew, and double glitter stems.
Interesting for sure.
Right? Like, very interesting loadout. I think he got into the top 8, if I'm not mistaken.
He got into the top 8, and he won his top 16 match with a Black Market Slicer on Kylo.
Yes, we had that game on stream.
Yep. So he, it was just Asajj against Kylo, and Kylo was stressed, and Asajj Black Market Slicer Kylo to death.
It's so funny. You know, that one piece of tech, right? This little, this thing that nobody is using right now wins him that game. It's that got him the dice.
Yeah. And I mean, usually you see that as a throwaway, maybe on a Z95 or something, since it's moving so early before the opponent you know, has the option to remove the stress, but you're already confused, you know, you're already preventing them, you're forcing them to take a green maneuver just in case the stress is still there. So it's really good on a Z95. On Asajj, I personally wouldn't do it, because I want that stress there for defense,
right?
But hey, don't argue with success. He brought it. He did well with it.
It worked out, right? As they say. Yep. All right. Who is at the three seed?
At the three seed, we have Mr. Tommy Adams. And Tommy Adams is flying a, I think this is probably you would call this Fairship Rebels variant.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically a modified Fairship Rebels, and Fairship Rebels always grounded by a defense, which is Lorik, with Selflessness, Ray, and Chopper, and he is also with another pilot skill 5, Ezra Bridger, with R3A2, also opted for Gunner instead of Hera, and Adrenaline Rush. So basically, you know, might not have Hera, but he can get that K turn or that red maneuver when he really needs it, with Adrenaline Rush. Then he has Jess Pava, who's the one who is creating the damage with Flight Assist Astromech and Integrated Astromech. And he's closing it out basically with the cheapest ship in the game, well, in the Rebels, with a 3 attack primary, which is Zeb, with the attack shuttle. So he's got 2 shuttles. He's got a Chesapeake, an attack shuttle, and a T-70 and Lorik. And he did great with it. He was a top 5-1 player.
Yep, and he ends up ending in the top 4. Barely losing that match.
Yeah, it was a close match. I was commentating on that match with Phil, but I'm the name of the
Dark Side Productions.
Dark Side, I gotta remember that. Yeah. So yeah, I was commentating on that match, and it was a fun match. It was basically just pointing at each other, and it was over like in 15 minutes because they just traded shots and somebody died.
Yeah. All right. And then sitting at the 2 seed, we had Jason Beffel flying, you know, similar archetype as we've seen twice already in this top 16. Kylo Ren, fully decked out, push to limit, advanced sensors, optics, tidal, auto thrusters, quick draw with, I mean, like really fully decked out here. We got crack shot, advanced optics, harpoon missiles, fire control, tidal, and guidance chips. And rounding it out with an Academy pilot, we did get to see Jason play against Tristan on the Gold Squadron podcast stream. And that video should be probably up in the next day or two when you're listening to this. And his Academy pilot is very lovingly named Carl. He has it in parentheses there on his list. Mm-hmm. And he's at 97 points, making his Kylo 50 in the end game. And pretty much the idea here is with quick draw, you quick draw on Kylo, blow something up. The Academy tie's job is to block and make sure things don't get actions, and then Kylo survives to the end game.
And this is exactly what we were talking about with Phil's list, right? With Filippone's list, that you take, you just go with the Academy and load out your two powerhouses, and just so happens that that Jason was the only person to beat Filippone and Swiss, because
his Kylo was more expensive.
Because he has a list that is optimized to beat a counter for Philip's list with at 100 points and with all that.
Yep, and so Jason did go 6-0. And then last but not least, our good friend, Nate Moore.
Nate Moore, Mr. Edit. So Nate Moore from the Gold Squadron podcast had an amazing tournament. He got top of Swiss, flying Ray with expertise, Finn, Cannon, Sloop title, and engine upgrade, as well as Miranda with a TLT bomblet, chopper, and long range scanner. I didn't even know he had chopper on there. That's cool. So I guess he can take. Actually, that now knowing that he has chopper in there, the final match that he lost against Nick Tobin changes a little bit, because he was clearing stress instead of 3 and 3, 3 and then chopper to slam out of the way and then clear stress at a distance.
When are you talking about that?
That was in the Wisconsin regional when he lost to Nick Tobin.
Oh yeah, he probably forgot about chopper. That's a newer thing.
Okay. Yeah, because he was stressed, and basically Asajj was going to keep her stressed permanently. But now knowing that you have a chopper, you're probably better off doing a three forward and then taking V1 damage to do another three that you'll eventually regenerate later. But you'll be able to come back without stress. Interesting. Actually, I like that list. I like that little addition because he didn't have it on there before.
Yeah, it happened when I convinced him to put engine on Ray.
Okay, that's, so when he took C-3PO out of it.
Yep.
Or the harpoon, one of the two.
Yep. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah, and it doesn't have Sabine, but again, the bombs are really just there as a deterrent. It's not how he's putting out damage like some of the bombing lists that is how they put out damage. So he's just using that just as a get off me, bro.
Yeah, great run. Nate's busy tonight, so that's why he's not joining us. But that's our top 16 list there. We wanted to give a lot of people see lists. We wanted to make sure that we break them down for you. Yeah. A lot of people maybe don't understand how the synergies work or good choices, bad choices, But congratulations to all the top 16. Congratulations to Eric Zhang for winning.
Yep.
Yeah, man. This was a good. This was a good regional season for our team.
Yeah. I mean, somebody in Gold Squadron was in the top tables at every single one that we went. So I think you made 3 out of the 4 cuts that you went to. Yep. Nate made 4 out of the 5. Actually, he made 5 out of the 5. Nate did not miss a cut this whole year. So, again, in my opinion, I think definitely with the Ray Miranda and in the current meta, you have to say Nate is probably the top. Not probably. I think it's pretty hands down. He's the top pilot from our squadron.
Yep.
With the list that we're using, yeah.
If the rankings say it all, he's the highest of us all. I think he's rated 6th right now.
Well, yeah, and this might even bump him up a little more. So,
yep.
So yeah, he's had a great season, and so did Brandon Francois from Gold Squadron Wild Wisconsin. So we've just really represented really well this year. So really proud of all of us.
Absolutely, we've been putting in the work.
And also, one more special thing to note that made this specific regional very, very, very good, very heartwarming was the variety. We had 7 Rebel, 3 Scum, and 6 Imperial. You still probably want to have a couple more Scum in there to even it out, but still 7 Rebel, 6 Imperial, 3 Scum is probably the most diverse top cut that we've had at a tournament of this size in maybe, 3 months?
Yeah,
3 to 4 months.
Sure. I mean, a lot of it's just been lopsided towards Rebels.
Yeah, like 14, 15 Rebels in the cut. Yeah.
And I think one thing that, as we get ready to close out here, that'll really be telling is Adepticon in a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to see what the field's going to look like there. We pretty much know what all of us are going to fly. I mean, I know at least... I'm not going to change my list. I've been working on really getting the kinks out. Nate is going to fly the same thing. Francois will fly his Nim Miranda. Brandon will fly the Ghosts. I think you're the only really wild card on our team. Allie will fly her Shadowcasters.
Yeah, I'll figure something out. It's 2 weeks away, so I'll fly Scum. that's what I know. I'll either fly Triple Jumps, I'll fly Double Shadowcasters, or I'll fly Dengar and Thweak. But either way it goes, it's still going to be a Scum list. So
yep.
I'll fly something scummy.
Do you live in the Chicagoland area or plan on visiting? Come on down to Pastimes Comics and Games, the home of Gold Squadron, where we play X-Wing every Wednesday and have tournaments the first Sunday of every month. We also play Imperial Assault, Armada, LCG, and Destiny on different days. Visit our Facebook page, Pastimes Star Wars, for more information.
Well, you can tune in on the stream like we talked about earlier at Adepticon to watch the action. I don't know if any of us will be on stream, but you at least get to see some games.
Mm-hmm.
And as we close this out, I want to remind you guys that you can watch live X-Wing events and content at twitch.tv/GoldSquadronPodcast. You can watch the video replays of our streams on YouTube, as well as our new series, X-Wing Mind Games. People are loving that. You get to hear competitive players give their tactics live as they're playing. It's a lot of fun.
I might just make one suggestion on that.
Okay.
Real quick, just add the names of the players on, next to the episodes. Or if not the players, at least the lists. So that way it makes it easier for the people that are just maybe don't have time to watch five or six episodes in a row. They'll be like, well, I want to see that person or I want to see that list and just jump straight to the those.
That's a good idea. I mean, that's easy to just add in there with the ones that are up there. So we have five episodes right now, season one. And yeah. And then last but not least, there's a bunch of different ways you can support our content, which has made all of our streaming possible. In the past and will continue to help us just grow the content. You got Patreon, which is the biggest group of people who support us. You can do Twitch Prime, which is connecting your Amazon account to Twitch. You give away free money by clicking a button. It's pretty amazing. And also you can go to goldsquadronpodcast.com to buy our extra patron swag after we've given it all away. If maybe you're a new patron, you're like, oh, hey, I didn't get those old cards. They're up there for you to grab. Coupon codes are all patrons get 50% off of all the cards. The code is secret and locked. It's on Patreon. So if you're a patron, go ahead and get it. And that's any patron from $1 to whatever they wanted to give. And yeah, I think that's it. Everybody gets by.
There's
something.
Yeah. You can stop by, shake our hand, and buy us a beer. You're supporting our entertainment.
Absolutely. Let's come hang out at Adepticon and have a good time. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so for Marcel and the rest of our team this regional season, we'll see you next week. Gold Squadron, out.